people could have been doing.
Hey, thanks for the thing, boy.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You all wide awake? You all alert?
Right on, Mitch.
You ready to go? Okay. Doesn't look that way. Looks like you all were out Saturday night. By way of announcements, what's in the bulletin, of course, is there. And what would you like to announce, if anything that's not in the bulletin? Any other announcements? Boy, must have been a quiet week. Anything from your end, Mr. Mayor?
Nope, not from mine.
All right, then, I'm going to change the... I want to read the different passage for our call to worship this morning. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 5. No, that's not right. This page, Deuteronomy 6. And Moses is about to deliver to the children of Israel the contents of not just the tablets with the Ten Commandments, but the other directions that the Lord is going to give Israel as they live in the new land that he's taking them to. But first of all, he's talking about who they are, and what he wants them to become, and what he wants them to do. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, three generations, and then more, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And those are the words for our focus this morning as we come to worship, that we are here to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with everything that we have. Shall we pray together? Here we are, Lord, gathered together again in your name. We have come, yes, to be with each other, but mostly to be with you, to give you our love, to give you our praise, to give you our cares, to give you our commitments, to give you everything that makes us us, and to lay it all before you so that you may work your will in us and work your will through us. In this place, among these people, in this community, and wherever you would send us. Meet us here. We are eager to worship you. Receive our worship from grateful and joyful hearts. And we pray all this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Let's stand together and sing number 310. Break things up a little bit this morning. Let's start with, what are your joys to share this morning? And then we'll get to the concerns and the prayer requests. What are your joys? What are the good things that the Lord's been doing with you and for you?
He's giving us sunshine this week.
In theory.
Well, he's going to.
Oh, okay. All right. Because my weather forecast this morning when I was looking at it said sunny today. So far, it looks semi-liquid.
Kathy is getting stronger and feeling much better.
Praise the Lord for that. And this week with the treatments went okay?
Yeah.
Good. Glad to hear that.
My cousin Wanda is improving and still needs prayer, but improving with her surgery. Good. And I forgot to announce it last week, but a joy. Chandler got chosen two of his artwork for the Washington County Art Museum. Last year, he had one chosen, but this year they chose two of his prints, and so they are in the Washington County Art Museum.
Oh, very good. Very good.
I guess the joy would be that our family is here another week, and we're just tickled to death about that. God
good.
Keeps giving us the strength to keep going until we actually find the resolve.
Very
but
good.
Also, something else, too, is that Linda's sister had back surgery, Susie, and she's coming along real good with that. And praise God for that.
Excellent.
And we just give God the glory for each and every moment.
Any others? Yes, ma'am.
I had a test come back fine, and I took it this week, so everything came back fine.
Good. You passed.
Yeah, I
passed. And they didn't even have to grade you on the curve. That's the nice thing about medical tests. There's no curve, you know. You just pass. All right, what concerns do we have today?
My son was in an accident on Friday. He fell asleep at the wheel and ran into a telephone pole.
Oh, dear.
Luckily, he's okay to do anything. He has some marks from the seatbelt. But luckily, he had full coverage on his car. So, very, very much a miracle.
And you still have your son.
Yeah.
That's right, you know. Yeah, that's right. We're grateful for
you.
There was a question. Was that BJ?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Others? Frank?
I think we really need to keep the situation over here in Israel and surrounding countries in our prayers. Matter of fact, if you've been watching it on television, look at the colleges, and I'm going to say it's the countries around Israel, the people that have come over here and attending our college is now raising a lot of fuss and so forth because we're supporting Israel. The Lord, we really need the Lord to help us to understand what's going on and how to take care of it.
Yeah. I think some of the cure for this might be you support the Palestinians? Good, we'll send you over to them. Stay there for a month. See how quickly you want to come back home. But, you know, some of us, a few of us, only a few in this room, are old enough to remember the Vietnam protests. And what happened in the end? Students made a lot of noise and a lot of fuss. And what did it amount to? Nothing. So these people are going to kick their little feet, and they're going to stomp, and they're going to throw their little hands in the air, and they're going to make demands, and I want this, and I want that, and wah, wah, wah. And the people in New York, and the people in Boston, and the people on the West Coast, oh, oh, it's horrible. And the rest of America says, oh, shut up and grow up. You know? Shut up and grow up. For just because you're throwing a fit doesn't mean I have to do what you want. What did you do when your children threw a fit in the aisle at the grocery store? Yes, well, we're not allowed to smack these people on the butt. But, you know, one of the best other strategies was just to walk away with the shopping cart. And after a while, when they realized that there was nobody there paying any attention anymore, they came running to look for mom and dad. And that's what I think some of what should be applied here. We just ignore you. Go ahead. Have a fit. Oh, by the way, it was finals week and you didn't take your finals? You fail. You don't pass a course. You don't get a freebie. Just, never mind. This is now I'm verging into political commentary. Faye first.
Sister Diane, she goes too this week, and Ricky, keep Ricky on the floor.
Well, I'll give you the brief synopsis of yesterday. we went over to eastern Pennsylvania to go house hunting. After signing my house away, I now rent what used to be my house for the next 2 months. But we went over to look at a house, and friends, let me tell you something, just in case you had never realized this before, pictures lie. Pictures lie, even when they don't want them to. Because we went to look at a house in a community called Coatesville. Everything looked really good on the inside of the house. We thought, this is a real possibility. And we get to the property, which is built into a hillside. Now, how many of you ever lived on a house on a hillside? Anybody ever here live in a house on a hillside? Okay, so this house is built into a hillside and has a walkout basement. And what the pictures don't tell you is it's built on a humpback. You know what a humpback is? You know, you walk into the house on nice level ground, and then three sides of the house go. I said to my wife as we were on our way home last night, I said, first thing you'd have to buy is a set of skis or a toboggan. You know, because you just go almost straight down. It's like, how are you supposed to mow the grass? You know, how are you to go, the driveway went like this. And we said, how are we supposed to clear the driveway? Said, okay, well, anyway. So that one didn't work out. Then the second one, we went there and looked the place over. It looked pretty good. Went down to go to the basement. How many of you remember the Seven Dwarves? Remember the Seven Dwarves? Well, you try to go down to the basement. Okay, here's the doorway that you have to walk down the steps of the basement. This is where I had to bend to go down the stairs. Okay, then we got down in the basement, and Sleepy and Doc and Dopey and Grumpy and the others, they could have fit in the basement really well. The rest of us had to walk like this. You know? No, that didn't work either. And then the last place, you know what, how many of you remember there was a movie years ago called The Money Pit? You know, this house was like a hole in the ground into which you would shovel money. And we looked around, the three of us looked around, we went to the basement, looked around, we went to the first floor, looked around, and we said, we're not bothering to go upstairs. Where's the door? So, needless to say, it didn't go well. So we continue to search, so continue to pray for us. Any other prayer requests? All right, let's spend some time with the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the ability to sometimes laugh at our troubles, because otherwise we'd be crying a lot. And Lord, you know that among us this morning are many troubles that have not been spoken out loud. There are physical pains, there are pains of the hearts, there are cares and anxieties, there are worries about health and about families. Lord, we have to lay all those things at your feet, because we can't handle them. We can only trust you with them and give you the time to work out what needs to be done and to work through them. And Lord, we also want to thank you for the good things, the sunshine that's coming, for the improvements in health after surgeries and tests and other things. Lord, that people are getting better, that you're touching our lives in so many different ways, and maybe we aren't always as grateful as we might be. But Lord, when we stop and think for just a moment, we walk outside in our yard and maybe we smell the lilacs or we see the trees blossoming. We feel the warmth of spring. Lord, you are so good to us and we just want to acknowledge that. We just want to acknowledge that your love and your care and your blessing is poured out upon us in so many ways. And we're sorry, Lord, sometimes when we're ungrateful and we don't say thank you. We're sorry sometimes, Lord, that we focus more on our complaints than on our praises. But Lord, we thank you that you are faithful and good and kind and wholly to be trusted and entirely to be loved. So hear our prayers, Lord, our requests and our praises now, that your name might be given glory. And we thank you for the prayer that you've given us, and we share that prayer together now. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to sing number 131. The text this morning is printed in your bulletin. I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to trust that you can do that. Because these are two very important passages that you've probably heard preached on before. And at least they're familiar to you from other settings. And the message today is entitled, Taxes and a Teacher. Today is April 28th. 13 days ago, you paid your what? If you had to pay anything. Yeah. How many of you were thrilled? Let's see a show of hands. How many of you were excited to send your check to the Internal Revenue Service? No one?
Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Now, let's not get, don't get ahead of the sermon now. Somehow or another, I didn't wind up there. Yes, render unto Caesar, but be tickled to death. I'm pretty sure I don't even see that in the Greek here.
That's probably in the language of Deb, I guess.
Okay. That's in the Deb New Testament.
Yeah.
Oh, the Eiler version. I wonder what else is in there.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, so I bet I would be. Okay, nobody likes paying taxes. And guess what? Nobody ever has. There has never been a culture on earth where people were excited to pay their taxes. Never. Anyone. So what we are is just like everybody who's ever been before us. Nobody likes to pay taxes because we think that what's ours is ours and what's ours is not the government's. But taxes have to be paid. What do we get from our taxes besides aggravation? What do we get for the taxes that we pay? What do you get for the taxes that you pay in Thurmont or Rocky Ridge or Frederick County? What do you get? Name some of the things.
Paved roads.
Police protection.
Schools.
Roads.
Yep.
Yeah. What?
Snow removal.
Are these good things?
Yes.
Think about if you had to drive your car on mud roads everywhere. Or maybe you get an upgrade and you have gravel. Isn't that fun? Some of you are old enough to remember when that's what you did. When we moved to Kansas 40 plus years ago, the first thing we discovered that the main road to town was a sand road. And when it rained, there were certain stretches of the road where you had to go to one side or the other because the road would wash or you'd get a problem. And then a day or so later, the county grader would come along and they would grade the road. And you'd be fine until the next time it rained or whatever. But you and I take paved roads for granted, don't we? You and I take water service and sewer service for granted, don't we? Especially in Thurmont. How many people call up the office and say, these darn water bills are too high?
About everybody.
But you know, the minute the water doesn't come out of the line, who are they calling?
Us again.
How many of you have ever had to call the police for something? Or an EMT? Or a fire department? And not all fire departments are volunteers. And volunteer fire departments are becoming fewer and fewer. If your house is on fire, are you excited to see the fire truck come? I bet you are. So there are good things that come with taxes, right? We don't have to like it to have a service that we use, right? What are some of the things that our national taxes go for? What do you gain from sending money to Washington, besides aggravation, again?
Military.
You have military defense. What else?
The president.
Okay.
You asked.
I did ask, yes. Jobs.
Foreign aid.
So there are people who sometimes do need aid, and we can come to their help. It's not all money poured down a hole. What about big things? How many of you have driven anywhere on an interstate highway? You ever drive I-95? That money would, the interstate system was paid for by federal tax dollars, which means you can sit longer in traffic between Washington and Richmond than you ever could before. But you can also get there faster sometimes too, in many places. If you drive out west, the interstate system means you could really go fast because there's nothing there. But, you know, there are benefits from the state, local, and federal governments that we pay our taxes for that even though we grouse and we grumble and why do I have to write a check and yada, 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 we do get something out of it, right? We just don't always think about the good. Some of us in this room are on Medicare. You say, we paid that. Yes, you did. But in essence, it was a tax on your paycheck, your payroll. It was a payroll tax. And congratulations, you live to be 65 plus and you get to get into that money. And you get to complain about why isn't it more, but that's another story. You're getting a benefit from your taxes. You get presidents and vice presidents, which are good for entertainment value, if nothing else.
Amen.
Of both parties, by the way. So taxes are necessary, and so we have to pay them. Jesus is at a situation in Jerusalem where the religious leaders try to come and trap him with words. How many of you have ever signed a deed for your house or a loan for a mortgage? You ever signed that? Okay. How many of you read every single last word of that fine print on the bottom? Most of us don't. We look at our banker or we look at our real estate agent and we trust them when they tell us, well, this means this and this means that and this means the other thing. And so we scribble our John Hancocks on the bottom line. But if you look at it, you've got a pile of paper about this high. And you'd be reading that a better part of a week if you read every single word and asked for an explanation of everything, right? So words can serve to explain and words can serve to set traps. And here they are, they're trying to set a trap for Jesus. And it's just astonishing what they think they can get away with. They sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. Now listen to what they say to him. Teacher, we know that you are true. You care for no one's opinion. Well, I added that one. You don't care what anybody says. For you do not regard the person of men, but you teach the way of God in truth. What is this called?
Kiss him up.
Thank you. That's exactly what it is. Butter him up or kiss him up. They are lying through their teeth because they don't mean a single word of this. Just honey words waiting for the snake's bite to follow. And they're trying to set up Jesus. And do you think Jesus is going to fall for any of this nonsense? Of course not. But he lets them feel good about themselves by saying these things, this flattery. You know, sometimes we say flattery will get you everything. In this case, flattery gets you nothing. Now, Master, since you tell the truth all the time and you don't care what anybody thinks, you just say it how it is, should we pay Caesar or not? Should we pay taxes or not? Now, you see, this is a political question. You see, Americans did not invent politics. Americans or other nations didn't invent political wrangling. The Jews of Judea and the city of Jerusalem and that surrounding area were occupied by whom? Who? The Romans. The Roman Empire was the big bad boy of the Mediterranean world. Did the Jews like being occupied by the Romans? No, they did not. They were among the most restive people under Roman control for centuries. But the Romans mostly were interested in only one or two things from the peoples that they ruled or the people that they conquered. And one of them was taxes, money. They want the income. The most important thing for any governor or administrator in a Roman Empire, like Pontius Pilate or others like him, was to keep the tax money flowing. Keep the dollars coming in, or the denariuses coming in. But the Jews viewed paying taxes as consorting with the enemy. They paid them with their teeth gritted and they grumbled. Nobody walked up to the tax collecting booth and said, oh, I'm just so happy to pay Nero or Caligula or whatever. Here's your money, you dirty Gentiles. That was how they looked at it. They had no benefit from it either. It all went to Rome. Well, the only benefit they had was more Roman soldiers when they needed them, but that wasn't a benefit. So Jesus says to them, okay, I see what's going on here. You know, I'm not stupid. I might have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night. You're trying to trick me into saying something that you can go to Pontius Pilate and say, this man is preaching revolution, and then have me removed. So I tell you what, fellas, show me a denarius. Now, a denarius was a coin So let's just say, for the sake of argument, about the size of a quarter. Everybody knows what a quarter looks like? Y'all know what a quarter looks like. Jesus says, show me a denarius. And somebody filches around in their robe in one of the pockets and gives him a denarius. And he says, okay, fellas, whose image is on the front and whose inscription is on the back? And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians say, well, it's Caesar, and it's his message on the back. And Jesus says, oh, that's fine. Okay. And a denarius, by the way, was a coin that was what the average day laborer earned. And it was a day's wages. So I'll tell you what, Jesus said, this is what we'll do. You'll give Caesar what he demands, because he demands it, or else. Right? You don't pay the taxes, what happens? The soldiers come, they extract more damage, and the taxes go higher. So you give Caesar what he demands, because he's the earthly ruler, even though he's not the final authority. Who's the final authority? God is. Ah. Render to God the things that are God's. Now, we've been thinking out loud this morning. What are some of the things that you and I owe to God?
Praise.
Praise. Thanks.
Faith.
Our lives.
Faith.
Faith. Our surrender. Our commitment. All of ourselves. Right? Everything that we are and everything that we have and everything that we are now or ever will be, we owe to God.
Amen.
So, give Caesar his coin, you give God yourself. You give God everything. Give him love, give him honor, give him obedience, give him your submission, give him your praise. Give him that! And the Herodians and the Pharisees and the Sadducees take a step back and they put their heads together. Can we take that to Pontius Pilate? No, it's actually really good advice. You know, so what do we do with that? So they retreat from the field. Jesus is not going to give them a reason to rebel against taxes. A little further on, beginning at verse 28, there's an interesting little digression between Jesus and a teacher of the law. Now, you say, Pastor Ed, what was a teacher of the law? They talk about the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. The religious society, the religious culture of Jesus' day was kind of stratified. You had the religious political parties, which were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the Essenes, and some others. They were both religious and politically oriented. Some supported the Romans, some did not. Then at the temple and other places, they had the teaching schools. That's where they had the rabbis, they had the scribes, they had the teachers of the law. This man would have been, let's just say, a rough equivalent to a college or seminary professor who teaches the Bible, who knows it intimately and knows it well and knows it thoroughly. So this was not somebody who was trying to poke at Jesus to make trouble. This is someone who had worked with the scriptures, who knew the Bible, would understand what Jesus says to him in his responses. And he wants to know something. Here is a man who is not trying to get Jesus. Here's a man who wants to get something from Jesus. Because he really wants to know. How many of us have ever been ignorant of something and wanted to know more about it? Okay. What did you do in the long ago days before Google and the internet? What?
Encyclopedia.
You went to the encyclopedia. If you didn't have a set of encyclopedias at home, where did you go?
Library.
You went to the library. Nowadays, of course, you just go to your laptop or your computer or even your phone and you say, "Hey, Google," and you know, you get the answer you want. But most of us are familiar with the idea of wanting to know something that we don't know how to figure out, and we need help to get it. I looked at my email this morning. We were talking about this house with the ski slope site. And one of the things we would have to do there was to put up a fence for the dog to run in, because the yard isn't fenced. And we were discussing among ourselves yesterday in the cars we were driving around, well, how much does it cost for a fence? Well, we know, well, it depends on the kind of fence. You can figure that part out. What kind is the best for the dog? And my wife says, we're not getting a chain link fence because if he's dumb enough to try to jump over and gets halfway caught between, he's going to get hurt. So, you know, you got to think about a wood fence or a vinyl fence, something like that. Well, how much does it cost? Well, we don't know. So my daughter sends us, after she got home yesterday, she said, okay, well, I'm going to spend some time on the internet. I'm going to look for some things. And part of the thing that she sent me was, well, this is what, in certain areas, how much it might cost to get a fence. Talk to your local fencing contractor or Lowe's or Home Depot to get an estimate. So we didn't know what to do. So we went to the internet. Find part of an answer at least. Now this man is going straight to the source. He recognizes in Jesus that there's no greater opportunity to get an answer than from the Son of Man, from Jesus. And so he asks a question. Which is the first commandment of all of them? Now, how many commandments were there? First, there was the big commandments. And how many of them were there? 10. And then all the rest of the additions and everything else, how many more were there?
613.
Okay, subtract the 10, you have 603. So you have 613 commandments. Let's rephrase this into a way that we might understand. What's the most important law to obey in the borough of Thurmont?
What's the most what?
Important law to obey in Thurmont. What is the number one law?
Pay bills on time.
But that's not a law.
Speed limit.
Speed limit. Okay, most people would say speed limits. Okay. What's the penalty for breaking the speed limit in Thurmont? I have not been caught. I mean, I have not had to pay a ticket.
Well, it just depends.
Well, let's say that you're 10 miles an hour. Over.
10 over?
Mm-hmm. Roughly. Give me a thing, you know.
100
bucks. Okay. How much is it if you pay a speeding ticket on Route 15? 200 and some. Mm-hmm. Nancy would know. You worked for the police.
Or she got the ticket.
So, but I'm just saying that your witness is valid because you knew the facts. Not from experience, but you had the access to the fine board, the scale. I'm not passing judgment on your driving. The Jews were wrangling among themselves for decades, actually centuries. Which is the most important commandment of the 613? Everybody mostly kind of sort of agreed that the Lord, you know, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But after that, it was like, oh, I don't know, not this one. No, they were all over the place. And it was a serious question from this man. He really wanted to know, which is the greatest commandment? And if I asked you to answer which is the greatest commandment, which I will ask you, but you don't have to respond out loud, you might think of, well, you know, which is the greatest commandment? You know, there are a number of really good ones that could be first. But Jesus looked at this man and he said, all right, I'll just quote back to you Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. No, we'll save that one. That's the second point. Don't get ahead in your own sermon. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Every Jewish individual, male or female, young or old, said this phrase in Hebrew every morning when they got up and every evening when they went to bed. They called it the Shema, because in Hebrew it goes, Shema, O Israel. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. So hear that, O Israel. And the man said to Jesus, I got that one. I know that one. I said it myself this morning. But then Jesus says, I wasn't done yet. We've recently had some problems at the Robbins household with hearing. My wife thinks that I don't hear or listen. I think sometimes she doesn't hear or listen. And one of us has said on occasion to each other, you didn't let me finish. It ever happened at your house? You didn't let me finish. I wasn't done yet. And Jesus says, I wasn't done yet. The other part of this is, love the Lord, love your neighbor as yourself, which comes from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus says, there is no greater commandment than these. This is top shelf, premium, ultra premium, platinum, you name it. These are the two right there at the top. And how hard are they? How hard are they? How hard is it for you and I to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our self, with everything that we had? How hard is it for us to always, every single day and every single night, love the Lord our God completely? It's hard, isn't it? Because we get distracted. Satan tries to help us to waver. It's not easy. And then you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And here it gets a little touchy. Because what if my neighbor is an ornery rascal? What if my neighbor is not a good neighbor? What if my neighbor parks their junk cars and trucks right up to our property line, right where I'll see them all the time? What if my neighbor has a wood-burning stove that sits outside his house to heat his house and to heat his water, and so he runs it all year round, and all he does is burn wood from old pallets in it, and they're all pine, and it smokes and it stinks all the time? What if my neighbor has a dog that barks 24 hours a day? What if my neighbor smells? Because he hardly ever takes a bath. What if my neighbor yells over the fence at me and curses my God? What do I do? What do I do? Jesus says, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Well, now.
Thank God we got good neighbors.
But loving myself, how much do I love myself? Ooh. That's a hard one. Because what will I do for me that I want for me? How many of you here love ice cream? How many of us, if we had the opportunity, and our blood sugar could take it, would sit down every chance we got with a quart of our favorite flavor of ice cream and not share it with anyone? Yes, you could. It just slides right down. So if we're loving our neighbor as ourself, if I'm willing to treat myself like that, I have to be willing to treat my neighbor like that. Even if he smells. Even if he curses. Even if he's obnoxious. Even if she gossips. Even if she's a lousy cook. Even if they creep their stuff from their property over onto mine. You know? And then Jesus just looks at the guy to see what's going to come next. And the teacher of the law says, "Well said, Master. Well said. You have spoken the truth. There is only one God. There is no one else but Him. And loving Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself, is better than all the sacrifices and offerings I could make." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Almost. Almost. Just keep coming." He says, "You're not far from the kingdom of God. You're almost there." Now, how many people do you know that are almost at the kingdom of God? That God is pulling them and drawing them and tugging them towards Himself by the Holy Spirit. And they're almost there, and they just need someone to help guide them along. To get over the line. Jesus is encouraging this man. He's saying, "You're almost there. You're almost there." Have you ever heard of Special Olympics? As I understand Special Olympics, each participant has someone with them to encourage them as they compete. Because in Special Olympics, it's not about the medals. It's not about the TV contracts or anything else. It's not about getting on the Wheaties box. It's to finish. And each one has an encourager to help them to finish. And you and I are here to help each other to finish. Because not all of us are getting over the line at the same rate. Sometimes we get aggravated. Sometimes we get annoyed. Sometimes we take steps backward. We're here to help each other because we see in each other that we are not far from the kingdom of God. So, are you an encourager or are you a pusher back? Are you a withholder? They're not allowing, not helping them to get there? Or are you encouraging each other? You say, when you put it like that, I'm not particularly sure I like that imagery of you thinking that I might be one who's holding people from finishing. I didn't say that. The Lord says it. He wants us all to cross the finish line. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we've been bought by the blood and washed in it and made pure from sin. But we are still living in this world and we have to cross the finish line. And we don't know when our time to cross the finish line is going to be. It can come to us as a surprise, like Steve. It can come to us as we've been expecting it for a long time, like Louis Hargett. The point is to get across the line together, to encourage each other, to help each other, and to help those who are not far from the kingdom of God to get there. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be encouragers. Help us to be those who are helping, who are guiding, who are doing our best for others to get into your kingdom. Help us not to be blocks or discouragers. Help us, Lord, not to be Pharisees or Sadducees or Herodians, trying to trap each other in words. Help us to be like Jesus. And help us to help all others to enter the kingdom of God when they're so near. Thank you for this word you have spoken to us today. It's in the name of your saving Son that we pray it. Amen. Let's stand together and sing our closing hymn number 268. We do pray that you would revive us, that you would encourage us, that you would equip us, you would send us forth for your name's sake, for your honor and glory, and to find others who we can help to encourage to fully enter the kingdom of God. We know that they are around us. Open our eyes that we might see them, and use us to reach them, we pray. Be with us as we serve you this week, for Lord, we love you. And out of thankful hearts, we want to act on our love and on our praise. And now may grace and mercy and peace from God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and every day. Amen.
All blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And lest you fail to notice, Nancy is once more proven correct. The sun is out.